I'm going to be taking us for the next few Sundays through a little mini-series on growth. And by the power of the Spirit of God, I trust. I am trusting the Spirit of God to take areas of our lives where there are blockages, areas where there are ceilings, areas where there are lifestyle problems, areas where there are belief systems that are hindering our growth, that are keeping us from reaching out and laying hold of what God has called us to. My desire in this time period is to put a spiritual equipment of truth into the recesses of our being that spurs us on, that causes us to reach out to take hold of what God has for us. And I want to say, every person in this room, myself included, all of us have certain spiritual limitations. And can I say to you, they're not put there by God. Some of them are put there by the enemy. Some of them are put there by ourselves. But God, the Bible says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness to the knowledge of Him. Everything that we need to grow, He's put in front of us. And so my desire is, if I can give you an illustration of it, it's to take in a sense, a spiritual spoon and to stir the spiritual dough of this church. And I want to see bubbles of certain kinds of things come to the surface that are simply not of God, simply things that are stopping us. And I want to see the pure bread of life forming in the life of this church, and in every family, in individuals, in moms and dads, in children, every person who is a part of our church. So I'm going to dive into that today. And there are many images and scriptures in the Word of God where God tells us, and can I say it to you this way, where God makes it really plain that His plan for our lives and His work in us is all about transformation and growth. And every believer should be growing. Salvation, the greatest gift that God could give humanity, salvation, which is the miracle of moving from death to life, from the judgment of God to the acceptance of God, from being alienated from God to being His family. That miracle, that instantaneous moment of time where we are translated out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of God's dear Son, is only the beginning of a great journey of transformation and growth. It's a pretty important one, okay? But, and I'm just being very honest with you, sadly to say, many people break through into the realm of salvation through faith in Christ, through faith in the finished work of Christ. They become believers. They enter into relationship where Jesus Himself comes and takes up residence inside them. They become new creations. And then they almost completely stop growing from that point on. There's lots of people like that. They receive the salvation, and they start running quickly, and they are very quickly taken out by the cares of this world, by the temptations of this world, by personal things, by an inability to understand the completeness of what Jesus Christ has purchased. And please understand this. When Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid for your sins, he didn't just pay for your sins, he paid for your whole life. Okay? Please hear me on this. That's why the Bible says, talking about the context of it is people who involve themselves with the idolatry of this world, people who involve themselves with different kinds of relationships that are unproductive. In the context of that, he says, don't you know that you are bought with a price? And your life is not your own. Your life is not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit, which belong to God. Now, that's the reality of what real Christian life is. Our life is not our own. Okay? We've been purchased by God for a purpose. The exchange, the real Christianity. If you want the real deal, you don't want some cheap, shoddy, you know, knockoff. You want the real thing. This is the real thing. The real thing is, we die, he lives. We exchange our broken down, frail, sinful, purposeless, you know, kingdom of darkness life. We exchange that for the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that he is, all of his purposes, the kingdom of God, his power, his thinking, his values, his beliefs. It is a 100% removal of one lifestyle, one direction, and a movement into a whole new lifestyle that is simply Jesus. It's God. Okay? Excuse me, I have a bit of a tickle in my throat. Now, I'm being truthful. There are those who come and receive salvation, and that's where their growth stops. There are those who come and receive salvation and grow to a limited degree, and then they are caught and they are taken away by other values, even other belief systems, other purposes, other attitudes, other ways of being. They don't fully release the old man and all of its desires, all of its ways, its purposes, and they end up living, I'm going to be really honest with you, substandard. Substandard in the sense of it's below the incredible life that God has for us in Christ. And they put ceilings on themselves, ceilings on how effective they can be, ceilings on how much they can do in the kingdom of God, because God actually requires of those who are entrusted with much, he requires much of them. Jesus said, the man who is faithful in a little will also be faithful in much. And in the kinds of ministries that Jesus creates in his body, everyone can minister. You know, in fact, the person who is a brand new Christian, who's just in the starting blocks, simply because Jesus has come to live inside of them, they can minister. They can give away what Jesus puts in their heart. But in order to become effective and powerful and used by God in the fullest sense of the word, God entrusts the deeper things and greater responsibility to those who are faithful. That's a character quality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithfulness. The Bible says about Jesus, he was faithful in all his house. Okay? And so Paul comes along and he says, he says to Timothy, when you're looking for people to give responsibility to, here's what I want you to look for. Look for faithful men. Okay? Everything that you have heard and you have seen in me, impart unto faithful men who will also be able to teach others. And I am saying to you today before God that there are kinds of ministry that God has for your life, absolutely has for your life, desires to release you into. He has created you for these things. He has areas of ministry. He wants to open doors in your life to all kinds of areas of ministry. But you cannot get there without a purposeful, heartful, committed desire to develop the character of Christ, that those areas of responsibility and care require. Okay, and I'm just being honest. We put ceilings on ourselves. Okay? There's an interesting story in the Bible. And talking about the Word of God, as we go through this teaching in the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how to grow. And some of the things that God has given us to grow. And I hope to equip you in that. But there's an interesting story in the Bible where there was a battle going on, and the king of Israel wanted to hear about the battle. And he was sitting at a distance, and the general was out there, and the war was going on, and he was anxiously waiting to hear about the battle. And there was a guy who really wanted to run to the king, really wanted to serve the king. And he kept on saying to the general, you know, let me run, let me run. And he kept on holding him back and holding him back. And finally, he said, oh, all right, go. And then there was another guy immediately who came in who had all the information that the king needed to hear, and he sent that guy running with the right information. And the guy who didn't have the right information was a real good runner. And he arrived to where the king was before the other guy. And the king asked him, tell me what's going on. Tell me what's happening in the battle. And he actually says, tell me about my son. And he said, well, I don't know. I don't know. And so the king said, well, you know, stand over here and wait. He set him aside. Okay? Then the other guy came with all the information, gave the right information, and was used. Now, that's a simple illustration to say to you that the kingdom of God, ministry, functions through knowledge. It functions through the Word of God. There are situations that the answers to what is happening in people's lives, discipleship situations or circumstances where people are going through things or circumstances where younger believers are depending on the input of those who've walked with God for a period of time, and what you will give them, the food that you will give them, what you will need to disciple them, what you will need to walk them through to the next levels in their lives, is a clear understanding of what God teaches in His Word. You will equip those people with truth, with the breastplate of righteousness, with the helmet of salvation, with feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel, and with the sword, which is the Word of God, and the shield of faith. You, please hear me, you will equip these people. You will show them the ways of God. You will teach them what God is like. But in order to do that, you have to know that. Please understand me, brothers and sisters. We have ceilings on what God can do with us because we aren't filling ourselves with the knowledge of God and learning these things in our own lives and giving ourselves to gaining this stuff. And we're like the guy who runs to the king and you don't have all the information. And God wants every one of us, you're going to hear in a couple of scriptures, He wants every one of us to be fully furnished, fully prepared, fully taught, you know, fully equipped, every one of us. And this, please hear me today, this church is not about my ministry. This church is not about my gift. Okay? I am one ministry and one gift among 100 and some people that are all called by God to the work of the ministry. Every single person in this room, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been called by God Himself to the work of the ministry, to leadership. You know, in that advertisement for Russ and Mary, I gave the title to the two sessions, Monday and Wednesday, Leadership and Ministry Development. Every person in this room is called to leadership. Everyone. Okay, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be an elder or whatever the case may be, but we all lead. We all lead in all kinds of areas of our lives. We lead our families. We lead by example with our friends. We lead in different kinds of circumstances where God entrusts us to actually set the pace or actually exercise certain kinds of leadership responsibilities. All of us are called to lead. Everyone. And we need to understand this and be prepared for this and give our hearts to this. This church will become what God wants it to be when every person who is a part of this church rises up and takes the place that God has given you in ministry and in leadership, where you are equipped. It's a long introduction, eh? I forgot to turn my time on, so I'm starting now. How convenient. I said I wasn't going to be long. I'm going to try hard not to be long. So what I want to do, I just want to run through a few points. I've got 4 pages, and I think I've got 3 points. Can I say to you today, continual growth is the will of God for your life. And can I ask you a simple question before we look at these scriptures? If you were to answer, you don't need to answer me, but if you were to answer very, very, very honestly concerning your life, where it is right now, would you say that you are on a trajectory of growth, noticeable growth? Or would you say that you are plateauing, you know, basically on a plateau, staying pretty much where you've been? Or are you slowly declining? Those things are worth thinking about. Now, the sad thing is that sometimes we don't know that we're plateaued. Sometimes we think we're better off than we are. And it takes the revelation of the scripture to show us areas that we actually are weak in. And I'm going to talk, when we get down a week or so from now, to talking about how to grow. We're going to talk about how to tell if you're growing. We're going to talk about the means that God has given us to actually grow. And I'm hoping in that message, eyes are going to be opened and that we will begin a whole new lifestyle as a church in some of those areas. So continual growth is the will of God. Proverbs 4. The path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Okay? When you received the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you received an imputed righteousness. The holiness of Christ in your spirit, the perfection of your spirit. You are born again. It's a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. All things are of God. That's not the end of it. That's just your spirit. God wants to sanctify us. He wants to get our minds thinking the thoughts of Christ. He wants to get our lifestyle walking in the ways of Christ. The perfection of your spirit that comes in salvation, where you have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ given unto you, and you have right standing with God, that is a gift of God that you cannot add to or take away. That's only one part of what God wants to do. That's called justification. The other part is sanctification, and that is defeating every single area of our hearts that is not like Christ. Everything that hinders us from entering into all the fullness of Him. Overthrowing every attitude, every belief, every idea, every direction, every choice that is contrary to the nature and the character and the heart of God. And that's a process. Thank God for standing first, like as Gwen preached. We stand in the righteousness of God. We stand accepted in the Beloved. We stand washed and purified. But that's just the beginning. God wants to make us in all areas of our lives like Christ. Okay, the life of every person who is in Christ should be on a trajectory. It is a trajectory of increase in brightness until we reach the fullness of the light. The Bible says that Jesus said, I am the light. The trajectory should be coming brighter and brighter and brighter, which is increasingly becoming more and more like Christ. 1 Peter 2, like newborn babes, crave. Everybody say, crave. One more time. Crave. Okay? Can you feel what that word is like? You know, crave. That's an intense word. That's a passionate word. This is a word from God. Sorry. Okay? This is a word from God, guys. This is God's word to you. And can I ask you the question? Is that in you? Is that in you? Yeah, or something. Can I ask you that, guys? Do you feel that way? Is that what's happening inside you? Is there a craving inside you for spiritual food? When you wake up in the morning, as you go throughout your day, is there a craving inside you for Christ-likeness? Is there a craving inside you for that which is going to cause you to grow? That's one of the ceilings. That's one of the ceilings. If there's no craving, there will be no growth. Listen to it. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow. You got to have the craving for the spiritual milk. Now, let me be honest with you. Okay? This is just straight up, you know, speaking it as it is. If you're not craving that, then you are craving something else. It could be anything. It could be peace and contentment, entertainment. It could be whatever is around you. It could be lethargy. It could be who knows what it is. Okay? If you're not craving this, then your life and your time and your energy is being spent somewhere at whatever it is your heart desires. Whatever you believe is valuable, that's what you'll give yourself to. If you're not craving this, then somehow, somewhere, your life is going to be spent somewhere else. Now, I'm just being honest with you, okay? Jesus' plan for your life, the purpose of God for your life is growth, not a little bit, but a continuous trajectory of growth into the character and the image of God. That's God's will. And if you don't have the craving for the spiritual food that's going to bring that into your heart, you are stuck. You're plateaued. You're not going to grow. You will, and you have a ceiling. You have a ceiling on your life. You have a ceiling on your ministry. You have a ceiling on what God is capable of doing through you and the doors that He can open to you. Let me tell you, if there is one quality that should mark the life of every person in this room, it's thirst. Hunger, craving for the truth, for the Word of God, for the knowledge of God. That's the starting point. Like babies, crave this, and it'll cause you to grow. That's actually for a future message, but I'm just saying to you today, it's God's will that we grow. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow! There it is. Grow! That's God's will. Grow! Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you hear God? Okay, I'm just quoting you God's word. This is what God says. This is, you know, all the scripture, it's given by the inspiration of God. It's the breath of God. It's God breathed. Hear God. This is God. God says, grow! Grow! Don't stay where you are. You know, don't be satisfied. Don't be content where you're at. Okay? His will is that you would grow. And in this case, that you would grow in the grace, your revelation of the grace. Grow in the grace. By the, did you know that the grace of God is something that we receive for ourselves continuously? We grow in that grace. But we also grow in the character of God that is grace in how we are with our whole world around us. Grace is something we receive, but it's also something we give away. And God wants you to grow in grace. Okay, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3. Paul is dealing with a problem in the Corinthian church. Division. Young Christians, he says that you are carnal and you're like babies. That's what he described them. He used those terms. Because they were having factions form among them. You know, here a church that was supposed to be one and powering together as one team, shoulder to shoulder. No lines, no room between the shoulders. Focused in one direction, running hard together. One team was dividing up into small groups and behind different leaders. And one says, I'm of Paul. Another one says, I'm of Apollos. Another one says, I'm of Cephas. Another one says, you guys aren't spiritual. I'm of Christ. And they were dividing up into these groups. Has that ever happened? Have we ever been tempted to form a faction and not run shoulder to shoulder with our brothers and sisters? Okay? But that's what was going on. But this is what I want you to notice in this verse. He says, what after all is Apollos? Who's Apollos? Apollos Smallus. You know? Who's Paul? Paul Schmall. Who are these guys? They are only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned each his task. Apollos, Cephas, Paul, just servants, assigned a task, simply those whom you have come to believe. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God made it grow. What's the message this morning? Grow. Where does growth come from? God. What is God's will for your life? Growth. Okay? God makes it grow in us. I'm only saying this to you today to underscore, big black thick line, underscore, big exclamation marks on the end of it, in bold. It is God's will that you grow. This is what he does with his people. Some plant, some water, but God causes growth. Okay? You can, if you're growing, It's God that's growing you. Should you be going? Yes, because God grows things. So neither he who plants is anything or he who waters is anything, but only God. God is the only one that gets the glory here because he's the one who makes things grow. The man who plants, the man who water have one purpose, and each is rewarded according to his own labor. Now here's what's growing. He says, for we are God's fellow workers. We work together with God. Now please hear this. Okay? It's not just Apollos and Paul and Cephas. Okay? It's Bailey and Bailey. Okay? It's Carrie. Daniel. Daniel and Daniel. Okay? We are all fellow workers with God. Okay? Val and Rod. Chris and Dawson. Okay? I could name everybody. Every single person in this room, whether you're a waterer or a seeder or a, you know, you get out the instruments and you prepare the ground, whatever it is that you do, every single one of us is a fellow worker with God. All of us are. This is a passage to all of us. We're all fellow workers. Okay? There is no ministry, as I've said hundreds of times in this church, there is no ministry but the ministry that Jesus does. But he does it through all of us. We're all fellow workers. But what are we working on? We are all God's fellow workers, and you! All around you, look around you. Here it is, and many others. And you are God's field, you are God's building. What is God building? Please hear this. I want to point you in the direction of your ministry. I want to show you who you're called to minister to. I want to open to you today the field that God has called you to labor in. He says to the Corinthian church, you're fellow workers with God, and you are the field. You are the building. See the person beside you? Behind you, in front of you? This is God's field. Who's called to minister to this field? You are. He can't say it any plainer. We are all God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, and you are God's building. And then just to make it really plain, I didn't give you the rest of it, but he says, then everyone must be very careful how they build. He says, whether you build gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, it'll be revealed. All of us are building. Some people build gold, silver, precious stones, things that last, things that are eternal, things that are valuable. Other people build wood, hay, and stubble. The things of this earth, carnal things, things that don't matter, you know, things that are here today, gone tomorrow. Every one of us is building something. Okay? But I want you to see, brothers and sisters, that if you think that Christianity is about coming here on a Sunday morning and listening to me, you've missed it. I am the teeniest cog in a massive wheel of ministry. I have a part to play, but you are cogs in this wheel of ministry. You are a part of both the ministers and those who are ministered to. You are the builder and you are the field. You are the worker together with God and you are the building. And if we don't get that, brothers and sisters, if we don't understand that's what we're called to, then you can live your life outside of fellowship. You can live your life outside of relationship. You can live your life outside of actually consciously giving yourself to building up and strengthening other people. You could do that if you don't have a vision of what you're really called to. Why do you grow? Why grow? You grow because God wants to grow other people. And in order for him to grow other people, he's got to grow you. Today, I release all of you into ministry.
Amen. Not me, Jesus.
What are we talking about? Continual growth. Skip the next verse. You can read it on your own. What does growth look like? Okay? What does growth look like? The marks of those who are spiritually mature. How many of you guys would like to be spiritually mature? Okay? This isn't all of them. I didn't have time to give you all of them. Here's just a few things. The marks of those who are spiritually mature. There is only one, you know, if you want to call it gold standard, there is only one plumb line. There is only one thing in the universe that is the measure of spiritual maturity. It's Jesus Christ himself. Okay? Spiritual maturity is actually Christ-likeness. Now, if you want to know how mature you are, it's real simple. You want to know how spiritually mature you are, just simply ask yourself this question. How like Christ are you? How like Christ are you? Okay? And this isn't to make you feel heavy and guilty and, you know, and oh, shame, walk out of here with your hat like this and your tail between your legs. No. This is to put in front of you the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. It's to show you where we're going. It's to set your heart where God wants your heart to be. But I have to be honest, brothers and sisters. We can live relatively satisfied lives. We can live each day as though whatever happens, happens. But I'm telling you, you can measure yourself. Just look at your heart. Look at what you're living for. Look at the words in your mouth. Look at the ideas in your head. Look at how you live. And you can tell how spiritually mature you are. Now, here's an interesting thing. This blows me away. Okay? The Hebrew Christians. Book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrew Christians. And these guys had the entire Old Testament. They were raised memorizing the first five books of the Bible. Okay? They had the covenants, the promises, and so on and so forth, all that kind of stuff. And they got Christ, because he's writing to Hebrew Christians. They had every reason to be mature. And yet he says to them, in the book of Hebrews, he says, in the time that you ought to be teachers, you know, you ought to be pouring out all the stuff that God has given you. You ought to be giving it away. You have need that somebody teach you again the first principles of Christ. You have become Hebrew Christians as those who need milk and not meat. May we get beyond milk. May we get into meat. Can I tell you what meat is? Meat is not understanding the hairs on the seven horns of the beast of Daniel. Okay? Meat is not understanding the obscure things, you know, the mysteries of Scripture. The Bible says that strong meat is for those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Strong meat is for those who by reason of use, the use of that meat, the use of that knowledge, that truth, they have the ability to discern between good and evil. It's practical. Okay? The ability to discern when you are with a friend who you love deeply. I love Heather deeply. And it's two ways. It's not just me to Heather, it's Heather to me. Please hear this. The ability to discern when either one of us is not walking in truth, in a character trait, in an attitude, in a direction, in a value system. Strong meat is for those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, their spiritual senses exercised to be able to discern between good and evil.
Now, here is a point for my last message on how to grow. I'm going to give it to you in advance. I have to be able to receive what Heather has to say to me. I have to be able to receive the Word of God from her. When she says to me, you know, Mike, that didn't look a lot like Jesus. I have to be able to receive that. But if she has spiritual meat and she chews it and you know, bring it like the cow, you know, you chew it, you swallow, and you bring it back up and you chew it again, you swallow, and you know, third time round, you're starting to get it, and you know, and she's taken in this diet of strong meat, then nuances of things, small things that are contrary to the ways and heart of God, her spiritual senses will pick up. Her and a number of our young people, young adults, have a responsibility to lead young people. If they eat strong meat and they learn to handle strong meat, they will be able to guide these young people into the ways of God. They'll be able to discern the issues that are happening in their lives, the struggles that they're going through, and they will be able to say, this is the way of the Lord, walk in it. This is what Jesus is like. This is what God wants to do in your heart. See, strong meat, the strong meat of the Scripture is simply the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he is like, truth. You know, so you can discern what is truth, what is error, what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. Okay? My time is up. Barely got through this. We'll continue on next week. You can read all of this and grow. Can I give you a suggestion? Put this on the back of your bathroom toilet. You don't have them? What? All this time. Did all those notes. There you go. Good. Maybe that's what God wanted this morning. Maybe you would have been distracted by the notes. But can I encourage you to put them in places? I love what Tim Russell used to do. Remember, you guys all remember Tim Russell? RCMP officer who was in our church for 5 years. He would take the notes and he would put them on his seat beside him in his police cruiser. When he was on stakeouts, because he was a detective, and an undercover officer, when he was on stakeouts, copies of the Sunday message were beside him. And he would be reading those things over and over and over with his Bible in his police cruiser. Amazing. That's a way to grow. Can I encourage you? Meditate on this stuff. Make it your spiritual food. Eat it. Get it in your hearts. And next week we will continue on a little bit deeper, a little bit farther, and grow. Can we pray? Okay, I'm going to ask one person in our flock rather than me. Shirley, come on up here, please. Would you pray for us that we would grow?
I just think this is a really exciting message. I look forward in anticipation to what God is going to do in us. Thank you, God. Lord, we just thank you for this word, this encouragement, this exhortation even, Lord God, this strong urging, oh God, to be with you, to meet with you, Lord, to seek you out, to fill our lives with you, oh God, in every way, every place, with every person. Lord, may our hearts be open to you, not just today, but in the days to come. God, we eagerly wait upon you, wait for you. Lord, we come before you. Our hearts and knees are bowed before you, God. Our ears, our spiritual ears are attentive to hear from you. God, help us, Lord, in our need, in our weakness, Lord, in even our ignorance, Lord, help us, God. Be with us this week and in the weeks to follow, Lord. Grow us into the people, Lord, you have designed us to be, oh God. We look to you, Lord, fervently look to you, God. I thank you for each person here today who has heard. May this word go abroad, oh God. Go abroad to our brethren, oh God, our brothers and sisters, Lord, the children, the elderly, each one, oh God. We thank you. Now bless your people, oh God. Look after them today, Lord God. Look after them, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Please feel free to share this message with others, but do not sell or alter the content in any way without the permission of the Rock Christian Community.